last night?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir. Amen. Oh, boy. I rode with two of my bodyguards, my cousin Billy and one of my great men, Brother Kent, was able to come with me this morning, so I thank the Lord for that. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. This is what I am, what Landmark Baptist Church and Baptist College is. I know Brother Hiles used to say that the three R's got him in trouble. Roloff, Rice, and Robertson. But I'm proud to be among that group. And we love Brother Carter, and we pray for him. Lord, give him health and strength. And like I prayed this morning for my mom and dad, that God will give them health and strength and long life on earth. Dad turned 87. My mom's 84. My dad's my adult Sunday school teacher. Dad's been teaching Sunday school for 60 years probably, or over 60 years. And he's one of my deacons too. I may look like a fool, but I'm not. What I learned about deacons is that they first of all must be the preacher's friend. And if they're not your friend, then you are a fool. Amen. But I've got two great deacons. And I'd like to share with you this morning concerning the survival of the Baptist, the true Baptist church, or the survival of the independent Baptist. Now, I believe before there was any associations or conventions, we were all independent Baptists. I've had every group, the Associational, the Southern Baptist, and all that, tried to get me to join their group. I've had them, both Associational Baptists ask me, well, you know, Brother Emery, who do you know to fellowship with since you don't belong to any association? And I said, well, I fellowship with those of like faith and practice. And then the convention guys, matter of fact, I knew one of the sweethearts of the Southern Baptists in the state of Florida. He had pastored several churches, Zephyr Hills, Leesburg, and he was had great success in, as far as numbers. But he even offered, when I was a teenager and surrendered to preach, he was on the board of Stetson. And he said, well, I'm on the board, and they allow those that are on the board to recommend scholarship to Stetson one a year per board member. And I didn't receive it. I didn't accept it, rather. And because God put something in my soul concerning what is the church. But I ought to preach on that this morning. I'm glad to be an independent fundamental Baptist. I love the independent Baptist, the music. Man, this is great music here. Me and brother Shelton Smith, we came, I think it was the 15th of September. We had Brother Smith for my 41st anniversary. And we didn't have service that night, so we came over and Brother Smith preached here. And me and Brother Smith, as we left, we were talking about, this is us. This is who I am. This is what I am. And this is what my church is, right here. Church of like faith. There's no small preachers and there's no small churches. You know that? Years ago, I think there was a meeting at Brandon Heights Baptist Church. I think Scott Nim started that ministry. And I was over there at a meeting. I think Brother Roloff preached, I think. And so Brother Raymond Hancock, who had pastored in outside of Tampa at Providence, he was familiar with my church. And Brother Hancock asked me, he said, Brother Emery, he said, where are you? I said, well, I'm at little old Webster. And he looked at me sternly and he said, "Brother King, is God there?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Then that's Big Webster." Amen. 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 And we're all equal before the Lord. Amen. You know, we're all equal as preachers. And but the survival of the, if I may just say, Baptist, the Baptist church, the survival, every church that has the word Baptist doesn't mean they're Baptist. If they're not Baptist in doctrine, they're not Baptist. The Southern Baptists have already turned into evangelicals. You know, they're talking about the largest Protestant group is the Southern Baptist. Well, if they're Protestant, then they're not Baptist. I'm not a Baptist. I didn't come out of the Church of Rome during the Reformation. But while we're surviving, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, if you read that verse out loud with me, please. "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Why are we surviving? And we are surviving. Independent Baptists, in my opinion, are alive and well. This past September, for my 41st anniversary, we always host the Independent Baptist Fellowship the following Tuesday. And I'd like to share whoever my guest is on anniversary with other preachers, give them opportunity to come and hear some of our heroes of the faith. We had 55 preachers at our church for that meeting. I went to another preacher's fellowship and there was at least 40 preachers. And I don't know how many Independent Baptist preachers will attend this conference, but if you look around, we're doing okay. That Independent Baptist, we're alive and we're well. I don't know about you, but I see that God is blessing the churches that are true to Him. God has blessed our church more than He ever has in the history of the church. We're still breaking records. Even in 2019, even in the falling away and departure from the faith and the compromise, God's still blessing His work. God's promised to meet our needs as we continue to do His work, and we're enjoying the blessings of God at our church. My life verse when I first started in the ministry was Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." In the 90s, started going through some difficult times. People left my church that I loved so very much, that I had known almost all my life, and I couldn't understand why they were leaving. I couldn't understand why they would betray me, and I couldn't understand it. And then God gave me Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord," because I couldn't understand it. There's so much in the ministry we cannot understand, and above all, we cannot understand people. Can't understand why people would leave our church, why people would forsake us. Now, we're not perfect, but we have a pastor's heart. Like I said Sunday night, everyone that comes through the doors of Faith Baptist Church, everyone that comes through the door of Landmark Baptist Church, everyone that comes through the doors of your church, you immediately give a piece of your heart to them. Amen. Every one of us as preachers, we live with a broken heart. And our heart has been cut deeply. But by the grace of God, we keep on going on. Years ago, I went up to pastor school, and I had to share a room with a white backslidden preacher and a Jamaican preacher. And boy, what a time I had. I learned something, though, what not to be. The white preacher said, he complained, "I'm not going to get close to anybody anymore. My heart's been broken so many times, I'm not going to get close to anybody." Then the Jamaican preacher, he was always right. "I'm always right, man. I'm always right." Well, he preached at a preacher friend of mine's church, and he was getting on an issue that the church did not believe, and it was covering your head, all the ladies covering your head with a napkin. And he kept on, and the pastor behind him said, "Knock it off, knock it off." Well, he kept on. Pastor finally had to get up, put his arm around him, and take him off the platform, you know. So I know I'm not always right. And I'm not going to let somebody that hurt me rob myself from being loved by somebody else. Yeah, there may be somebody that will break your heart, but there'll be somebody that God will give you that loves you. And you embrace that love, and we give that love. But why are we surviving? Number one, Christ said that we would. Years ago, I had two preachers, and they looked at me as their Timothy, and they were older preachers, and they said, "Emery, if something don't happen, I don't know if I'll have a church in 10 years. And both of them was going to resign. And I went to Tampa and I went to Orlando at two separate times, and I begged both of these elder men not to resign. And I told them, and I know it had to be from the Lord because I'm not wise enough, I told both of them, I said, "This is the Lord's church, first of all, and the Lord has more to do with our church than we do." And you know, both those men are in heaven, and their churches are continuing. Upon this rock, he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, we know that hell is trying to prevail against it. The battles that we have, the opposition that we have, and the demonic presence and attack that we're constantly under all the time. But listen, he said, God made a promise. He said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. The devil can't win. He can't win. As long as we keep Christ first and stay loyal to him, the devil cannot win. I prepared my church already. I told my church, if I was preparing the church if Hillary got elected president. I said, "She's coming after us." And she made this statement. She said that if we don't change our faith, she would change it for us. Now, NBC, ABC, CNN, all that, you know, Clinton News Network, nobody but Clinton Network, all that, you know. They didn't broadcast that. But I heard it with my own ears, saw it with my own eyes, that Hillary said that if she's elected, that we will have to change our faith concerning abortion, gay marriage, all that kind of stuff. Right. And said that, "Hey, if you don't change your faith, we'll change it for you." And she meant the court. Now, she'd been elected, we'd had two liberal, socialist, leftist Supreme Court justices, and they would have already came after us. But I told my church, I warned them, I said, "Listen, if it happens, we're not bowing, we're not bending." Amen. Amen. Or there's two, listen, they have no right. We will rebel, we will resist, because number one, because of God, and then number two, because of our Constitution. That Congress shall make no law restricting the establishment of religion or the exercise thereof. So we're not going to obey. That's not the law of God. That's not the law of the land. So we will not obey. Now, we may be confronted with this. So we better get ready. What are we going to do? I already know what I'm going to do. Amen. It's already settled. But why are we surviving as true Baptist churches? And by the way, I don't know about you, but the definition of a true New Testament church is that it's a local called out assembly, called out by the Holy Spirit, of born again, baptized believers. That's what constitutes a local, true, local New Testament church. Everybody that is saved is not part of the church. You got to be baptized, got to be a part of that local assembly. And the Holy Spirit is what builds and puts together our church. Those that are that spiritual and obedient to the Holy Spirit, and they pray and they say, "Lord, lead us to the right church. Lord, lead us to the church." My other deacon, Brother John Smith, he was saved and at our church. And boy, John was over 300 pounds. And when I first came to our church, I was 127 pounds. Now, y'all can look at me and y'all know I'm not 127 pounds now. Okay? But man, I baptized old Big John. He was way over 300 pounds. But what a man of God. But you know, he testifies. He says, "I'm thankful that when I got saved, God led me to the right church, and he passes church after church after church to get to our church. He said, I thank God that God led me to Faith Baptist Church. And if people are serious, listen, you don't go to the church that you like the most. You go to the church that you need the most. How many people from Southern Baptist and other churches have came to me and said, Brother Emory, I wish I'd raised my children in a church like yours. They know who's taking a stand. Amen. But they're afraid if the church takes a stand, preachers takes a stand, they won't take a stand. Yeah. So, you know, that's the reason they don't come to our churches. Yeah. But Christ said that we would survive. Yeah. We're the only survivors of truth. We're the only survivors of true doctrine. I've got the 1960 publication of the Southern Baptists and their doctrinal belief. If you read it, it's right down the line. All independent Baptist churches, the Bible Baptist churches, and the independent Baptists, a lot of them, when I was coming up, I saw that they used this handbook of church membership. If you get that, I've got plenty of them at the church if you like one, and you can probably go to a bookstore and maybe get them. But it's right down the line what we're preaching this morning.
Right.
But ever so many years, the Southern Baptists redefine their doctrinal belief. Now, isn't that silly?
Yes.
They meet to decide what they're going to believe now.
Right.
And boy, have they departed from the faith. They used to call themselves Baptists, but now they're Protestants or Evangelicals.
Right.
Man, there's a difference, aren't they? But isn't it really scary though, Brother Carter? About these Baptists that are not Baptists. They're not Baptists. There's a preacher I'm going to take that book to, the Southern Baptist. I'm going to ask him, I said, buddy, do you believe this? That's what I believe. Baptists used to believe, basically the Southern Baptists used to believe the thing. All Baptists practically believe the same doctrine, the same truth. But they've been invaded. They've been infiltrated by the Protestantism. And evangelicalism. But why are we surviving? Why is Faith Baptist surviving? Why are we enjoying the blessings of God? Because God said that we would survive. Listen, if we weren't going to survive, Jesus would have no reason to come back. He's coming back after us. Listen, why are we surviving? Christ said that we would. We are the only survivors of the truth, of doctrine, of evangelism, the Great Commission, soul winning, bus ministry. Each pastor, church member, each Christian, being that Christian witness before this dark, dark world, is found in our true Baptist churches. We're the ones still running the bus ministries. We're still the ones passing out tracts. We're still the ones that have a burden for souls. We're still the ones that have standards and convictions, Lord, that will bring forth identification with the Lord Jesus and holiness and righteousness. Boy, when we got out of the car a while ago, and Brother Carter, we saw your high school, I guess, the students coming out of the classes, and saw their modest apparel. Girls dressed like girls, boys dressed like boys. I told our men back there, I said, now this is a true Christian school. First Academy there in Leesburg, their volleyball, they had this tights, almost nothing. And supposed to be a Christian school. I'll read the newspaper about this Christian school and that Christian school, and it showed their volleyball teams or whatever. And boy, I tell you, it's far from being Christian. Christian, my understanding, Christian means Christ-like. The word Christian means followers of Jesus Christ. Well, is he not holy? Is he not righteous? And ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid that we've got a generation that they're bringing the Lord down to our human level. Listen, the Christian life is all about elevating us to His level. Amen? And there will be a difference between us and the world. But why are we surviving? Number one, Jesus said we would. Number two, we are surviving because of our head and our founder, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Rome is not our headquarters. Right. Nashville is not our headquarters. Heaven is our headquarters. Jesus Christ is the head and the founder of our church. Right. I mentioned this Sunday night. Brother Carter, some preacher said, don't say that. Yeah. Don't say that. Yeah. I'm saying it. If you can't trace your bloodline to the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, then you're not a true church of Jesus Christ. All Baptists used to believe that, by the way. I shared Sunday night years ago when I was moderator of the fellowship, the Lakeland Tampa area fellowship. We went down to Pinellas Park to a church, and the pastor beforehand asked me, he says, Brother Emery, do you have a church that's going to host a meeting in a certain month? And I said, no, sir. He said, well, can I host? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I'm having Brother Hiles. I said, well, I'm having Brother Hugh Pyle. I said, we'll have Hiles and Piles. And so we went down there, and Brother Hiles, in his latter part of his life and ministry, emphasized the King James Bible and the local Baptist church and the difference between us and Protestantism and all. And so had a fellow ride with us. I don't know if I finished this Sunday night or not. But on the way home, this fella went to a Protestant school that taught Protestantism. It wasn't a Baptist church at all. But they, if they didn't use the word Baptist, they wouldn't have a church.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. So they'll just put the word Baptist,
yeah,
or they couldn't have a church.
Yeah.
And so on the way there, he says, well, he says, if what Brother Hiles said is true, then I don't guess I'm a Baptist. But what Brother Hiles said was not Hilesism. But it was New Testament teaching, New Testament belief. Why are we surviving? Because of our head and founder, and he's my boss. I'm not the head of the church. I play a part in the church. But Jesus is still the head of the church. He's the one that we look to. Listen, he is our head. He is our founder. He is our empowerer. He is our supplier. He's our provider. He's our instructor. He's our protector. He's our promise giver. The Lord Jesus, the head of the church, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then why are we surviving? We're not going anywhere until Jesus takes us up. We're not going anywhere. As long as there's a Bible, we'll be here. We know it's forever settled in heaven. As long as there's a Bible, we'll be here. As long as the Holy Spirit presence, His power is here, we will be here as local New Testament churches. As long as we are here, the true churches of Jesus Christ will be here. As long as we're here, Holy Scriptures will be preached and taught. As long as we're here, worldwide missions and local missions will continue. As long as we're here, we're survivors. As long as we're here, true institutions of Christian learning through our New Testament churches, through our Sunday school, through our preaching, through our teaching, through revivals, through Bible conferences, through vacation Bible school, through our Christ-centered Bible institutes, as long as they're here, as long as Landmark Baptist Church is here, the truth will be presented. You can probably count on one hand how many Baptist colleges you can recommend anymore.
Right.
I want to tell you something. If you, and I know some schools that's well known, that's been in business for a long time. One preacher friend of mine said he sent his daughter to this institution, and he thought, well, she's not going to study Bible because they were not right on the Bible, but they're not going to study Bible. She's not going to be a preacher, obviously. So she's going to be a teacher. So I think it's safe to send her there. Well, she came back. Want to argue with her daddy, preacher daddy.
Yeah.
Said, Daddy, really, the King James is not what you said it was.
Yeah.
And the daddy said, honey, but I'm your dad. This is what she said. But Dad, they're smarter than you.
Yeah.
Now, you can't tell me that is a Christian college. When a Christian college sends their students back home to their home church,
yeah,
and they want to argue with the pastor,
yeah,
about the Bible and other things, that is not a Christian college. It's not a true Bible college. It's false. It's fake. It's phony. Amen? But as long as we're here, the institutions of Christian learning will be there. God's truth will continue to march on by and through our beloved sister churches. Don't you love preachers?
Amen.
I love preachers. Amen. I love to go to other churches when I have an opportunity. Our sister churches in the faith, and at Faith Baptist, we pray for our churches of Light Faith and Practice. Regardless of the size of your church or my church body, we all know that Christ is there, and He'll be there equally with us. His truth is marching on through the living ministry of our Baptist churches. His truth is marching on.
Amen.
You know, I tell our church, and I look at it this way. We don't have, you know, years ago, they didn't call mega churches.
Yeah.
Trinity in Jacksonville was not a mega church.
Yeah.
New Testament in Miami was not a mega. Highland Park was not a mega church. You know, they were just churches.
Right.
And then the charismatics and others started, you know, their thing, and they started growing through carnality and false teaching and easy believism and all that kind of stuff. Now they call it mega churches. But listen, the truth is marching on. I told the church, I said, I think the Lord looks down upon America and then beyond the world, and He sees those lights, white lights, all over the place. Lacoochee, Webster, Haines City. Small towns, big towns. God sees His churches. Listen, you know what I say? Do y'all complain about Mondays? You know, when I was coming up, I thought the typical normal thing for a preacher on Monday is to complain about Sunday. And, you know, sometimes, you know, preachers will call each other on Monday, well, how's your day? Nothing to write home about. How was your Sunday? Well, we got through. I do not complain. Listen, I want to tell you something. I go to my church because God's there. If God wasn't there, I wouldn't be there. Amen? And listen, as long as God is there, something is going to happen. Something's going to happen in my life. I must have God touch me every Sunday. And listen, when somebody calls me on Monday and says, preacher, what kind of day did you have? I said, we had a great day in the Lord because the Lord was there. Amen. He was there. But because of the surviving churches, God's infallible preserved word lives on. Now, they look at us as fools. But they're the fools. These psychologists, Bible, so-called Bible teachers on the radio, they're supposed to be so brainy. But man, if you can't settle on the Word, how can you have any brains? We're the one that has the brains. We believe in the preserved Word. Amen. And we're so foolish that you put all the translations right here, and we have enough sense. And somebody ought to write a book about this. How can things be different be the same?
Amen.
Amen. How can the NIV, Never Inspired Version, the so-called New King James, and the good news for modern man, and all that kind of garbage, how can it be the Word of God when it's not the same?
Amen.
We're the fools, they say. That's okay. I'm a fool about the Bible, aren't y'all?
Amen.
Because of the surviving independent Baptist churches, God's infallible preserved word will live on. Hallelujah for that. Like I said Sunday night, listen, it's forever settled in heaven, but I love defending it. Don't y'all? I'm glad God's given me the opportunity to do so. Listen, because of the surviving independent Baptist, true songs of the faith lives on. See, you know why? The world hates the traditional hymns because the hymns that we sing are biblically principled, biblically true. But that junk they sing, you know, you could sing it, well, they sang it in their so-called church, but you could sing it anywhere.
Yeah.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I praise you. They don't mention the word Jesus. Well, who in the world are you talking about? You can be talking to him or her. Amen? We know who we're talking about, singing about when we sing from the hymns of the faith. Amen. We know who we're talking about. Listen, as long as we're here and because of the surviving Baptist Church's true songs of the faith, hymns lives on. Holiness and righteousness living lives on. Christian biblical convictions and standards live on. Separated from the world. And separation is a wonderful thing if we take it as God has given it. Separation from the world. And we got to understand this. Oh, separation from the world, all these standards. Oh, man, I'm bored. I can't do nothing. No, separation, biblical separation, separation from the world, separation to Jesus Christ. And this is a wonderful place to be. Now, over in Corinthians, when it talks about being on and equally yoked together with unbelievers and what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, if you read on down, the result of separation, we can have a father-son relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want that relationship, and the only way I can have it is to be separated from the world to Jesus Christ. And that's the happiest we'll ever be. And we'll enjoy the presence and the love of Jesus. Amen. And the closeness and the friendship of Jesus Christ by being separated from the world. It's worth it. In closing, as long as there's true Baptist churches, there will be found the shining light of Jesus Christ. We are a lighthouse. Thank God for the lighthouse. The people says that it's not needed anymore. But thank God for the lighthouse to give the true, clear gospel of Jesus Christ. It is simple. What was it? Was it Moody that somebody said one day to Brother Moody, said that, you know, you shared this salvation on how to be saved, and you make it seem so simple. And Moody's response was, no, God made it that way. Even the little children can understand the wonderful words of life. As long as true Baptist churches are here, there'll be found the shining light of Jesus Christ. The true local New Testament churches will and can be found. The gospel will be witnessed and shared throughout the world. True worship and songs and hymns and spiritual songs shall be enjoyed and endured. Brother Carter, I haven't been to a fellowship meeting yet, but I know one thing. If I ever go to any fellowship and they preach all of anything but this book, I'll get up and walk out. I am a Baptist. I'm a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist. And no friendship is worth compromising over. As long as true Baptist churches are here, there will be found holy, righteous, and biblical separation shall be lived through our churches, through our pastors, through our officers, through our leaders. Years ago, when I first came to our church, and my time is up, I visited a preacher in the community, and so when he was washing his car, and he was squatted down, and there's a pack of Red Man in his back pocket. And then I was told that he was a cigarette sucker. Well, he's a brother of me, come on in the house. So he thought he was going to set me up with his wife, not that way. But he's going to set me up before his wife. And so got in the house. He said, Brother, I understand at your church that you don't allow any of your teachers to smoke or use tobacco. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, he said, you let them belong in your church, don't you? I said, yes, sir. But I said, brother, I think the teachers and those in authority ought to be an example before those that are in their class. And he didn't have anything to say about that. But I want to tell you something. He ended up dying with cancer.
Yeah.
I've had other preachers, tobacco using so-called preachers, that would mock me and make fun of me even when I was a young man. But both of them are dead, gone. Because of the results of sin and not being separated and making mockery over a young preacher that believed in clean living and holy living and righteous living. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to make it. Just look at today. My heart is encouraged about the future of True Baptist churches. We're going to make it. We survive. We will survive until Jesus comes. What a blessing to be alive today. This is hard days. But the Bible said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. May God bless us all as we continue to do the work of the Lord where God, by His Spirit, has placed us. Let's pray. Lord, we love You today. What a blessing to be saved. What a blessing to have the opportunity of having a part in Your local New Testament church. What a privilege to represent You in this dark day in which we live. Lord Jesus, thank You for all the men of God that are in this building this morning. Father, I pray for Your blessings and Your power and Your encouraging spirit. There may be a preacher here that maybe had a low day Sunday. Maybe they're having financial struggles. Maybe there's Jezebels or Ahabs that's causing them problems. Father Jesus, I pray that You'll anoint us with fresh oil today. Give us the boldness of the Holy Spirit of God that we may stand in these evil days. Thank You for the privilege of being right here behind this sacred pulpit of one of my heroes of the faith, Brother Mickey Carter. God, overshadow him with Your love and mercy and healing and keep him strong. Bless his dear wife, Lord. Touch her body in a special way. Brother Parsons, all those that are on staff of the church and the college, bless them. And Lord, may You continue to use these folks in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray, and God's people said, amen and amen. Can I just say one more thing? This is the 40th anniversary of Landmark Baptist College, and our church, we gave a donation in honoring and celebrating the 40th anniversary of Landmark Baptist College. If you feel led, I think it would be a great blessing and a great investment in giving a special offering to Landmark Baptist College for the work that they've done. You know, a lot of college, Brother Carter, he's never solicited any money for the college to me. But to me, I don't have a college, you don't have a college. Well, he's got the burden of the college. I think it'd be great if we would support the one that God's called to have His college. Amen.
I sure can't find any fault with what he said. Thank you, Brother Emery. Brother King has got a tremendous testimony of being faithful, withstood the temptations and some of the errors that have been cast his way, still just as true as ever. Amen. That was good for us, and I agree with all he said. I'm a Baptist too. By conviction, amen. Yeah. Young fellow back from college was arguing with his grandma about the Baptist church. And she said, well, son, suppose when... Well, he said to her, he said, grandma, said, suppose when Jesus comes back, he's not a Baptist. She said, son, if that was the case, I'd know it wasn't Jesus. Amen.